Controversy in Seville, Louisville's version of Deflategate, Dougie Fresh back in Seville, the Fresh Question of the Week, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jay Willie Show. I am Mark Jerome alongside Coach Jason Williford. We are sponsored by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged. Jay Will, it's really good to see you. It was really good to see you last week in person.
It was good. It was good. That was actually fun. Doing that live was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Dougie was holding court right in front of where we were talking.
I know my ADD started to kick in. I was trying to listen to what Fresh was saying, listen to you. It was all kind of stuff going on.
It was fun. It was a good time. You were great as always. You were great live. And it was cool to have all the people walking around and recognize people and people coming up to us and saying hi. And it was a blast.
It was fun.
And before I forget, T-Dubs reminded me, and I said it last night on our post-game show, but I have to mention two people from Citizen Burger and from Take It Away. Angela Johnson from Take It Away, right, who was very supportive and helpful. Actually, three people, right? Angela Johnson at the Take It Away Dairy Market and Cleo Sapp at Citizen Burger. And then, of course, our people from the Milk Bar who gave us that spot and who provided liquid for us to drink.
I hear you guys kept it open a little post-game after party.
You can discuss that with Dougie. I was trying to watch the game all the way in the back room.
All right.
The Lakers-Warriors game. But, yeah, real fun. Great guests. I don't know. Anna and John Schick came on. The Phil Wendell came on. Sean Singletary was on.
A couple of people. Did Harold ever make it?
Harold didn't make it.
Okay.
Couldn't make it. He had a conflict at the last minute. He was planning on coming by. Shane and Grant came on. Grant gave us the update on all the guys in Europe. He went on a European tour. Grant's living the life.
He lives a good life.
Shane came on. Shane was really good. There was a little concern.
What outrageous take did he give before he got off air?
Nothing really bad. I mean, he was forthcoming. He was transparent. We talked about, I think, the funniest part, and I think one of the most important parts that he talked about was people, critics, right? Mentioning on forums or wherever they have their conversations and whatever platform they use, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, or whatever, where they get a chance to speak their minds and tell the whole world who should be playing, why they should be playing, as if they're at practice. And they know something that you guys don't know. So
there are a lot of coaches. Everybody's a coach.
True. On the other hand, excuse me. On the other hand, without those people, we don't necessarily have the audience. Right, and the ESPN and advertisers and whomever else. So,
no, it was good. I really enjoyed it. To see Anna there, that was pretty cool. She is the number one fan, I tell you. She loves her Wahoo. So that was good to see her and her dad. It was pretty cool. There were a lot of people there, man.
I asked Anna about Tony Bennett, and she just had this big smile over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love Tony Bennett. It was so wonderful. It really was. But, you know, the great guests. It was so much fun. And then me, Dougie, and T-Dubs hung out there with a lot of other people after you left and after the show. The show went for about 4 hours.
That's a long time. Way to hold it down.
We did. We thanks, Bill. Bill Styron on. Said, I'm glad I checked it. Hello.
He saw 11 p.m. There's no way we're doing a show at 11 p.m.
Sorry, Bill. Sorry, folks. And thanks for joining. So me and then after people left about 3:15, 3:30, Dougie, T-Dubs, and I were talking to some other people. And Forrest, I can't forget Forrest. Thanks.
Forrest,
and of course, super, super producer, Little Ski. And we had Little Ski's dad on talking about It Makes Sense, right? The book that he wrote and the podcast.
So I got a copy. I can't wait to read it. I'm going to give it to my boys.
Good. And then we just hung out talking for a little while. It was just a blast. And then we got over to the game. So thank you, Ronnie Weidman. Thank you,
Ronnie, took care of you.
We sat, so I would never complain about those seats. And it was just exciting to be in the arena. We sat behind the bench. And we couldn't see everything on the other end. But Ronnie was like, sorry, I don't have anything right behind the bench. Like, really, Ronnie? Are you serious?
No, Ronnie's the best.
Building, and you gave us great seats.
Listen, I feel bad whenever I ask him, because I'm always asking last minute for more tickets. And he's trying to find a way. We had some recruits in the house over the weekend, so that was good.
Yeah.
You know, he finds a way to make – he makes it work. I don't know how. But he is going to kill me one of these days, because I am a last minute, I need four more out of nowhere ticket request guy.
We had about 15 or 20 of your family members there.
I had quite a few. Family's first, they're loyal.
Amy's a great fan.
Oh, she is loyal. Pops is so pissed. I don't think he's got a ticket this weekend, so he's mad at me.
Uh-oh. He got a ticket to Duke, but not for Notre Dame?
So I don't know what it is, but Notre Dame's been sold out for like 3 weeks now.
Maybe because Bray announced that he was resigning?
It could be. Or the noon start. Like, a lot of people like to come early on those Saturday noon starts. So I don't know.
Bray is now saying he's not resigning.
I saw that. So
Dougie can't continue to ask you about what that name of the sandwich was.
I'm not sure that means he's back at Notre Dame or whatever. I don't know. But it looks like he wants to continue to coach. So good for him. Mike's one of the best guys in the business.
Such a nice guy. Really, really nice guy. But yeah, great day. Great game to have the recruits in the house at JPJ. Great environment. Electric. Exciting. Fun. Let's get to the game.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna let you lead. I got an idea where this is gonna end.
Well, we know where it's gonna end. We can all agree on that.
We know where it's gonna go, but yeah, I'll let you start.
I thought there were times when you guys looked really good, really, really good. Didn't finish great, and still kind of controlled the game some, to a certain extent, and dictated. Left whoever's guarding Filipowski. I mean, there were a couple of storylines. The amount of charges, well, how many charges did you guys figure it out? Five or six?
I want to say we took four, maybe five charges. I know Ben took two, Kihei took one, Armand took one. That's four that I just off the top of my head. But yeah, I thought our position defense was good when there was a breakdown. So when somebody got beat and there was help there, we were there to take charges. Where I didn't like, where there were some breakdowns at the point of the ball screen. And we've got to figure out how to address that. Because we've had several of those, especially in the middle of the floor. And Duke was twisting ball screen, come up one side, twisted last minute. And so there was some communication breakdowns early on. And I thought we got better with that. And I challenged all of our bigs at halftime to be better in the ball screen, because a lot of that was on them, whoever it was. You know, Caden played, Poppy played, Ben. Like, I think all of those guys got a chance in that game. And we've got to be better. They've got to be better. But then the guards got to help them. So it was a combination of the two. But I thought once we tightened that up, we were good. We missed some bunnies at the rim. I thought we missed some easy layups, some easy opportunities. And then, God, we couldn't make a free throw to save our lives.
We'll get to that, too. I should have introduced the show, or at least added point shaving. I hope somebody's making a little extra dough missing all those free throws.
No such thing as that.
We joke around like that.
No such thing as that. You'll have compliance calling my butt tonight. No, it's just for whatever reason. And here's the crazy thing, Mark. Before that game, we do a free throw competition, right? Everybody shoots 1-1, mm-hmm. right? So all the guys that play, they're on the baseline. One at a time, they each get a chance to shoot a 1-1. So to in practice, everyone made the front end and the second shot. We made 20 straight free throws to end practice. Normally, if you miss one, you keep shooting until you make both of your free throws, right? First take, 20 straight. We clapped it up. It was a good day. That's the first time we've done that all year. And then we go out and we can't buy a free throw the next day. It was crazy.
It's almost, I mean, I can't imagine there being any method, any formula to simulate crowd noise, pressure, real pressure. You can't do it.
No, you gotta be in the moment. As they say, you gotta be in the arena. And until you're in that arena and you step to that line, and you know, especially the big ones, those are tough. You know, you gotta block out everything, and you just gotta trust your routine. So I don't know.
I'm glad you're not taking the Calipari approach.
What's that?
When Calipari played Kansas, when Memphis played Kansas in the national championship.
Yeah.
At the Final Four, Calipari was like, we don't have a free throw problem. Right? And then, of course, they missed the free throw. Mario Chalmers comes down, he's a three to send in overtime.
No, you know, we practice them. And we know that's something we've got to continue to do. We're constantly shooting free throws. Before practice, after practice, guys are getting them up. You know, I think you trust your routine, get to the line, and shoot it. Shoot it. It's easier said than done. You know, I know.
So when guys are on the free throw line at practice and you guys have that free throw contest, what's everybody do? Everybody's on the baseline, or is everybody standing around trying to get that person?
It's quiet. All eyes are on you. No one's on the line. They're all looking at you. Like, that's a hard shot. So, and then prior to the Virginia Tech game, we piped in crowd noise to shoot free throws. And so we had the crowd noise going, one guy at a line. You just, you know, I don't know. And then what's neat is the last guy who's up, if everybody makes it and it comes down to the last guy, we put everyone around the line. And so now you got everybody crowding you. You get, you know, now you got to make your front end. You got to make it 1-1. And you got to make two to get off the line. So I mean, we come up with all kind of games. You know, we free throw games where you're going against a teammate. And, you know, you got to shoot 25, best out of 25. And if there's a tie, you shoot another five. And if there's a tie after another five, you got to make swishes, and only swishes count. So, I mean, we come up with all kind of games.
Maybe permitting like 5,000 fans to come in to watch the end of practice. Waving their arms, like.
That is not going to happen. But, you know, I mean, you know, we do. We've got to just continue to shoot them and
yeah.
You know, hopefully we play enough defense to where it doesn't come down to last second free throws, and we've got a little bit of a lead. But you know, guys got to shoot them, and they got to trust, they got to want to be there. I tell guys all the time, you got to want to be there. You know, part of it is a mentality. You got to want to be there. Thank you for fouling me. I'm making these.
What about finishes? Do you chalk that up as? Or do you think that the defense was causing problems to finish?
I thought again, we got to continue to work on the finishing, but I thought some of it was just their size. I mean, in 3 through 5 for them, their 3, 4, and 5 were all long. And so a lot of it was you know, I got to get this up quicker than I normally would. I got to get it to the rim faster. Or I got to get it up a little higher because they can go get it. And some of that was that. But we also smoked a few that were, I mean, some gimmies. And it's just concentration. And again, continue to work on that. And we'll do that. But yeah, I mean, as a coach, you got to be happy because we're getting quality shots. I think those are quality looks. You just got to convert them now. You know, it's nothing, you know, schematically that's going wrong. You know, we're getting good looks. So now we got to make those.
I've been at a few practices, and you guys do a great job working on finishing with yeah. while being challenged at the rim.
Yeah,
really good job. Love those drills that you guys do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my thing with the team this year is sometimes, like, you guys look so good, so confident, with such swagger, coming, bringing the ball down court, like, we're going to win this game because we're that good. We're that tough. And then other times you guys look, I was going to say never bad, but last night, with the exception of last night, right? But you guys can look better than mediocre, but still not always like a championship team needs to be playing at this level all the time.
Or yeah. Mark, I just think it's part of the season. It's ACC play. It's, you know, sometimes life on the road, as the case was last night. Sometimes it's just young kids, young guys, you know, just being young. And, you know, the urgency, understanding, you know, every possession matters. And, you know, as a coach, we understand the urgency that you got to play with. And but I'm not sure the guys always do. They think they can get it back the next possession. And a lot of times it comes down to it's a possession game, especially how we play. And so you got to be good. I think, you know, when we look good, partly because the ball is going in and, you know, we can look good making threes and, you know, getting stops, you know, maybe getting a few steals and turnovers, getting some easy baskets. But then there are times when the ball's not going in. It's a little bit of a grind. And we're not getting those easy ones. We're not getting to the foul line, you know. So I think. Or we turn it over, you know what I mean? We'll have a careless turnover. A lot of our turnovers are just unforced, you know, untimely turnovers that lead to, you know, easy pick sixes sometimes for the other team or opportunities where they have an advantage. So, it's the ebbs and flows of the game, you know. You try to minimize those as much as you can. But life on the road, man, you know, road games are tough, you know, and I know we'll get into that later, but and Duke is Duke. They got a lot of talent. So, you know, I thought a couple of their guys played well. They got in some foul trouble. Roach got in foul trouble, but I thought Proctor had a really good game for them.
Good.
The freshman, we did a good job on Filipowski, but before Roach got in foul trouble, Roach was killing us in the first half. So
nine of the first 11.
Yeah, I mean they got there's talent in the league, man. There's some talented guys, and you know you just got to withstand runs. There's always going to be runs both ways.
I was having somebody email me today and said, my guy Doug Workman said, I don't understand basically how we could look, not how we didn't play so well last night against a team that's not very good. And then when you, and they get a win where you barely escape at home on Saturday, we were talking back and forth, we exchanged emails. And one of the things I said was, Phil Brew, thank you, Phil, for checking in and saying great job.
Hey, that great job on Philip Powell. That's actually my brother-in-law. What's up, brother-in-law?
Thank you for watching. So, but one of the things was on Saturday that I said to Doug, we still escaped with a win shooting, and he actually brought up too, shooting 9 of 22 from free throw line, right? Missing, I want to say, three open threes late that would also vice the game. right? You don't always make shots. You don't always make threes.
Yeah, so looks, so right? This is what I'll say, Mark. You know, we've had teams over the years where we're never going to apologize for a win. It may look ugly. You take it. You move on. And I think that's a testament to championship caliber teams that find ways to win when they don't necessarily have their A game. And, you know, we were able to find a way to win. You know, we held on, beat Duke, found a way to win the other night.
But are you encouraged by the win on Saturday after shooting 9 for 22, missing a couple of late threes that were open, good, great shots?
You know, I wouldn't say encourage. I mean, the guys are laying it on the line for us, right? They're giving us all they got, and I love it, right? They're listening to the scout for the most part. They're doing what's asked of them, and we're going up against quality players. We're going up against Duke that's looking to get some wins late, move up in the rankings, you know, try to get in the NCAA tournament. Like they're playing for something. But we're playing for something too. So, you know, if we can make some shots, I like us against anybody in the country. But when we're not, and we found a way to pull it out, yeah, you got to tip your hat to those guys. That was a gutty win. I take that. I told Tone last night, I said, life on the road in the ACC, coach. We got one. you know, hard to go on the road sometimes. Crowd might not be as juiced up as it has been in the past at certain places. You know, you got to muster your own energy. You know, it is – that was the case yesterday and against Duke. I thought that was a desperate team, and they were pissed off. They lost at Miami, and they came in ready to get one.
Any surprises on the Duke team? What, Dariq Whitehead hit a couple of threes late, I think. Was it
Dariq? I thought Dariq, you know, he hadn't been playing. He finally played against us. He hit big threes, kept him in the game. Like I said earlier, Proctor was good. The kid, Granderson, came in, knocked down a couple big threes to transfer, and that's what he can do. And so, you know, some of that was us. We there were breakdowns and we left him. Like, so you can't leave that guy.
I'm gonna ask you that in 1 second.
Yeah.
Going back to the show on Saturday, I spoke to Ed Dunn, I think on last Wednesday, and asked if he was coming down. I was like, no, I'm not gonna come down. I was like, come on down, we could be on the show. He said, yeah, but I got method to my madness, why I don't come. You know, it's always, do I really want to make a 6.5 hour trip or 7 hour for him being in Long Island?
Right.
And you know, I love the team, and he's the nicest, most humble guy that supports.
Great guy.
And he doesn't have he'll never beef if his kid's not playing. He's like, my kid's not playing, he didn't do something right. Hey, but you still want to see your kid play if you come.
No question. And he trusts us wholeheartedly.
Yep.
But there was familiarity when Ryan was on Filipowski. He knows him. They played against each other.
Yeah.
And he did a good job. I want to say Ryan, he might be responsible for 2 shot clock violations where the ball's still in his hand. He blocks one. He makes him shoot an air ball on one. Like,
great defense.
Yeah, big time.
A couple of big rebounds, too. Snatched one out of the air.
Big time.
Just snatched.
And we struggled on the glass,
yeah,
right? So he was one of the guys that could go get it above the rim. And I lit into the bigs the next day in practice. I said, listen, man, we got to eat. We got to eat the glass. There's no way our guards are out-rebounding us. And Ben has a double-double yesterday. So maybe that helped. But we can't keep getting out-rebounded. And I know some of it's our size. You know, we're a little smaller at those positions. But those guys got to – they got to go eat. They got to go and clean that glass for us.
So I was going to bring up Ryan. Didn't play a lot in the first half. And am I right to think that he got second half options or opportunities because of foul trouble, or
foul trouble, and we were having problems with some of the ball screen stuff, and he was able to, you know, do a little bit better in the ball screen, but he was also sliding, and he went in, like you said, he went and snatched a couple rebounds, big time rebounds, timely rebounds that you know let us keep the lead.
Played great. Now nobody plays a perfect game, but he certainly gave you guys a boost and certainly played well.
He was good. Armand was good.
It was solid. But he also, two plays down the stretch, you may not agree with me on one, and I could be completely wrong. You watched the film. I haven't watched the film. And I didn't have a great angle from where we were sitting. Not complaining, Ronnie. Those were awesome seats. We're sitting right next to your family, so you know we had good seats. Your dad and your sister. And she's a big Ryan Dunn fan.
She loves him.
But she was also threatening to some of the players if they missed another foul shot.
and I love you. Everyone in the arena probably heard her too.
She was actually yelling, very positive, but she turned and said something to, I forget who was it, one of the managers or coaches. Said, I'm gonna give somebody a pat on the back if they miss another free throw.
It might have been Zay. She might be talking to Zay.
Okay, maybe. I don't remember. But not. I'm going to go back to Ryan Dunn about the two plays I want to ask you about him. Mike Curtis is intense.
Oh, you didn't know?
I guess I forgot.
No, very much so.
Has he ever gotten a tech?
He comes close. He's been warned before. Sit down. I don't want to hear another word. He's super intense. They should actually, I would love it if they just put a camera on him for like 20 minutes.
Mic him.
You can't mic them. But at least they could have a camera on them and just watch. I mean, he goes crazy.
Yeah, he does. So Ryan Dunn, the play is up three. He I guess, I don't know if he was helping out somebody on the team. I don't know if it was Granderson or Derek Whitehead got him on his hip.
Yeah.
I think Derek hit the shot in the corner. Somebody made a great pass from Duke. I think Ryan hit for some reason. Ryan was may have been either in help or slow to react or got face tangled or something and was getting beat on the drive, and they kicked it out for the three.
In front of Duke's bench. So we scramble. Kihei covered. So there was a breakdown. We up all.
By three, by the way.
Huh?
You're up by three.
And he tied it on that.
Things left.
Yep. So I'll go back. Before that, we're up five. They rush it down the floor. Roach beats us. He rejects a ball screen, which we had talked about, and he beats us outside, gets a layup. Cut it to three. We miss, I think. They come back down. There's a scramble. There's a ball screen situation. We've got to, we hedge. We recover. We all scramble. Kihei is on Granderson. Dunn is trying to get back to the big, maybe Filipowski, and maybe he might have fouled out. Whoever was the big down low, Kihei ends up getting inside of him and getting screened, and both he and Ryan are late to getting out to Granderson on that three. But it was, I mean, look, kudos, he hit it, but it was what we – yeah, I mean, we had to scramble. We had to help the helper, but it was Mike Curtis never smiles.
His eyes could do great harm.
No, he's grumpy smurf. But no, that was, you know, that's our defense in a nutshell. Scramble, help each other, and we just didn't get out to him quickly.
Was the strategy to just not give up a three no matter what? Or was it, hey, let's just play this straight up, man?
No, I want to say we were playing straight up. I don't know if we were switching at that point, because sometimes late in the games we'll switch, and you know, we'll switch one through four, maybe one through five. And I can't recall if we had started switching just yet.
I could ask you so many more questions about the Duke game, but then we'd be an hour and a half until we got to Louisville and Dougie Fresh. And you know, Dougie's so excited right now. Can't wait to come on. But I want to go to the last play.
The block.
So Ryan Dunn gets lost. Well, I won't say gets lost. He overplayed. Lost his man. Some people say it was about 6 seconds, 5.5 seconds.
Duke took. You know, I hadn't looked at that, but okay.
I saw one tweet that showed that had a clock stopwatch next to
how long he took the inbound.
Yeah, and I think there was like 5.5 seconds. All right, whatever. And not to beat up Ryan, but he lost his man, and Filipowski goes back door. I would love to see somebody not go toward the basket catching the ball and let him catch it going away, right? I don't know. But he makes, and then you got the block.
But that's a lesson learned, guarantee you, over his next however many years he's with us, his 4 or 3 or 2 or whatever it may be for him, he won't do that again. I guarantee you he learned his lesson. But I thought that was a good block. I thought Reese went and got it.
So when all the chaos was going on and the two refs were at the scores table, and I'm watching Tony Bennett, and he's having a side conversation with the other ref. Were you privy to that conversation?
No, but I was watching intensely, and I saw one of them like shake his head, like, that wasn't a foul. That's how I interpreted it. So
when all three were together, or when the two first guys were there together, when TB was talking to the other ref,
it may have just been two. I only think two watch it, but I saw one of the refs standing behind, and he was like, "So I'm clapping now." So in my mind, I've interpreted this, and I hadn't looked up at the scoreboard yet, but I'm saying not a foul. He shook his head. He shook it off. Okay, clean block. Foul occurred maybe on the floor after the horn goes off. You know, I'm not sure, you know, how they interpreted it. You know, I've seen and read, and you know, I could care less about that, you know. But, you know, I saw – you know, Reese go get that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And I just start clapping. Coach, we're going to overtime. Let's go. We're going to overtime. And so I say something to Ryan. I say, listen, lesson learned. You know, you'll be fine. You still got 5 minutes to play. We're going to overtime. And he had to be the most relieved guy in the building when they waved it off, 5 more minutes on the clock. But it was, you know, we've been on the short end of the stick too sometimes. So
how much, if TB is starting to get a lot of respect, where he's talking to the one ref.
Yeah.
I just know if he said he didn't foul him. Like,
no, I don't know. I don't.
Because they called that ref over. The other two guys couldn't make a decision.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy into. I've heard all the conspiracy theories. It'd be a shame if the refs, if that's what decides that's not what decides games. I thought they looked at it. I think at that time, I think they thought, you know, I made a mistake. You know, inadvertent whistle. Clean block. We looked at this thing. It's clean. All right, let's go to overtime. So, you know, and look, you got 5 more minutes to go play. 5 minutes. Decided. May the best man win.
Was that the best victory of the season? I mean, it's always great to beat Duke, right?
Yeah, it's good to beat Duke. I mean, I like what we got, 20. I think they're all good. 20. We got 20 wins now. I'm loving them all. Everyone is big, Mark. But for me, beating Tech's the biggest. I like beating Tech.
Okay. Okay, I can appreciate that. And I respect that, certainly. We got a comment from Bill. Thank you very much, Bill.
When am I getting coached to bring back the orange unis?
And Hilton T. Young.
I'm not sure Coach is ever bringing those back. So the story behind, does everyone know the story behind the orange unis?
Nope, I certainly don't.
So we played maybe my second, our second or third year back, maybe second year, we go to Duke in orange unis and we try the alternative uniform. Wasn't a good night. Coach didn't buy it. He said, we're going to stick with road blue and home whites. And that's what it's been ever since. So
I have a hard time buying into what you wear is going to influence your performance, either positively or negatively. The person wearing the uniform.
Hey, so yeah, we may get them. We may get them, you know, one of these days. But I tell you what I like, what I see people doing, where they just, so, you know, we got Virginia across the front. I want to see the alternative uniform with like a V saber, like with the mascot doing, like Tone won't do it, but that'd be pretty cool.
Did you see Northwestern's uniforms last night?
I hadn't, but you know, a lot of teams are doing those alternative like logo things.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. I might be able to convince them of doing it. We'll see.
Well, if we see uniforms that are alternative, as you put it, we know where the idea came from.
We'll see.
Right. All right. Going from what had to be one of the better victories, no matter what you say.
That was a good win. Home win. Big crowd. Hey, listen.
It's crowd. Always to beat Duke. It's always great to beat Duke.
Crowd was phenomenal.
Yeah. That was great.
That was rocking. I love it when it rocks like that. And I got to speak. I got to speak upstairs before the game to the alumni. I mean, to all the VAF donors and look, coaches talk before the game. And President Ryan was in there. I got to acknowledge him. I had to be on good behavior. But it was pretty cool. It was rocking. My one thing to them, the first thing I said when I got in there, I just want them to be loud. So I said, 1, 2, 3, go Hoos. I made them do that two times. So I just was warming the pipes up before the game.
Got them going. That gets contagious.
Oh, we feed off of it. You know, it's big time. It really gets us going.
Any really good questions from the VAF?
No, they made it easy on me that day. I told them, I said, before you ask, you know, this is a game where we're going to have to play our bigs. And so so I knew that was coming. Poppy or Kate, and we're going to be able to get a chance to play. I said, you know, and both got in.
Yep, and I thought both were solid. All right, let's go to Louisville because we still got to talk about Dougie. We still got to talk about a couple of things. How are a lot of questions last night about Kihei and Reese, their health?
Yeah.
Were either of them sick, hurting, or just time of year when everybody's a little bit hurt?
I think it's safe to say this is the time of year where not just us, but most teams across the country are banged up, you know, not injured, but they're just, you know, it's the wear and tear of the season. I thought we were a little flat, you know, but a lot of that was, you know, they had something to do with that. I mean, I thought they came out desperate, but that's a good, I'm telling you, forget what their record is. They got talent on that team. They got some guys that can play. They're athletic, legit size and athleticism. I mean, you saw it early on. Whenever we went to the rim, it was getting contested. I mean, they probably had 4 or 5 blocks early in the first half. So, you know, And we missed, I thought we got, again, quality looks early. We missed some really good shots. And then you saw a little tightness. But, you know, those guys are going through it. All of our guys, like I said, everyone in the country, but it's the teams that are smart. You know, we're smart about how long we practice and giving them proper rest. And, you know, you just got to have fuel in the tank for the next one. So this is where you got to be physically and mentally strong this time of year.
I'm just trying to really quickly look up, by the way, UNC, oh, that's women, sorry. Look up the score at halftime yesterday. Was a fairly tight game, 29-26. What's the message at halftime? What was the tone? Did you feel like the guys were a little bit listless and a little lethargic?
No, motivated. It was your defense is going to have to carry you, and you know, L. Ellis made some difficult shots. We couldn't keep him in front for a while. He was breaking us down, and whenever he touched the paint, he either got himself a shot or he got somebody else a shot. I thought Withers made some good individual plays, some one-on-one pull-ups. We shot over us. You know, they got a couple offensive boards. But for us, it starts with defense, and we weren't stopping the ball. And we made it too easy. And we had a couple some four shots where if we just, you know, you go in, you draw the help, if you make the extra pass, we talked about that. Just make the next pass. We'll get a better shot. So, you know, we tried to do that in the second half. They came out. I thought they played a little harder, a little better. McNeely hit a couple big threes down the stretch. Gardner got it going in the post a little bit where he scored. Armand was really good. To be honest, Armand kept us in that game in the first half. I thought he was really good. Got to the lane, finished, hit some threes. I don't know what he finished from the line, but he made some free throws. But it, once again, free throws came into play. But, you know, I think it's human nature a little bit to you know, come off a game like Duke, go into Louisville, and, you know, as coaches, we know we got to play. But I think those guys, and, you know, you can't take anybody for granted. Like I said, they got talent. And I didn't particularly like the warm-up. I said something to those guys. I thought we were a little loosey-goosey. You know, you got to be locked in. Get your minds right. Get ready to play. Let's be focused.
Yep. So at halftime, just going back to halftime, who speaks at halftime? Is it every coach? Is it mostly TB? Is it some you? No,
we will meet as a staff. Most of the time, they speak to each other. But, you know, we may say something. Tone may say something. Or whoever had the scout may interject a little bit. But Tone will say something immediately when we go to the locker room. Then we'll convene as a staff. Then we'll go back and just, you know, all right, this is what we want to do. This is what we're going to do in the second half. But it's most of the time it's all Tone. But he'll ask those guys, tell me what you see. Like, yeah. He's always good. Is there anything you see that we need to do? We need to make this adjustment. So he's talking to those guys.
Down one. With about 10 and a half left, somewhere between 10 minutes, 10 and a half left. Are you getting a little nervous? Are you getting a little worried? Or is it, this is a regular season game? Maybe this is kind of good for us.
It was what we thought it could be. And it is a ACC road game. And they got talent. And when, you know, you're not making shots and you know, our defense is not as locked in initially. You know, that's what happens. But I thought we righted the ship. You know, we started to get stops when we needed them. And then we made some timely baskets.
So you go up 10, go up 8, go up 10 fairly late in the game. And then what happens?
We miss free throws. We miss some bunnies at the rim. Like, I thought we touched the paint in the second half, like between Kihei getting in there, Gardner finishing in there. But we missed some free throws and we missed some easy ones, and they converted. I think they hit a couple big threes themselves late, where we just didn't get out to the shooter.
I always felt like watching the end of the game, I was like, Louisville can't win this game. They're 3-23 for a reason. I know you are saying that they're still good and they're athletic.
They're not. I know people say they are what their record says they are, but that team, I mean, individual talent, they got some talent. You know, I'm not there every day, but L. Ellis, Jalen Withers, I like the kid, Mark, I think it's Mike James, number one. J.J. Trainer, you know, he made a big three late for them, kid from Louisville. They'll figure it out. That's too proud of a program, too much history. That program will be, they'll be okay.
We'll see.
I don't want it to be when they come into JPJ in a few, next week. Week after next.
Yeah, last game of the season, right? Yeah. So, okay. A lot of talk about the basketball.
Don't get me started.
I will. I want to.
I said to Kihei, I said, well, if the ball was flat, we just played all but 0.7 seconds of a game. Why wouldn't you say something at the beginning or halftime of the game? And they were like, well, I think they switched balls at halftime or it's got a leak or something. I said, you guys are crazy. They play with the same ball. When you say something with 0.7 seconds left, come on.
And how long did they complain about it? That was the first time with 0.7 seconds
left? Goes over the tone and he's like, look at this ball. That had nothing to do with go to the free throw line, make a free throw, dribbling the ball. They dribbled that thing up and down the court for 59 point whatever minutes in the game.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, they're crazy. He and Ben. And Ben was saying, I could put my fingers in it. So you guys are nuts.
All right. What do you say? Okay, so Kim, hey Kim, how are you? Do you know who Kim Whitler is?
No, but I'm looking at
NIL.
She what?
She wrote a book on NIL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Awesome person. So Kim's question is, what would Caden have to do to earn more playing time?
He got to keep working, keep grinding in practice. And when he gets his opportunities, for us, it's more Caden defend, rebound, stay out of foul trouble. And whatever he gives us offensively, be it a rim roll where we throw it up and he's lobbing it, getting fouled, making free throws. Mm-hmm. Those are all pluses. But for him, I think it's defend like a madman and eat the glass like a madman. We got to get, like I said earlier, we got to get those bigs to rebound. We've got to one and done teams, limit them to one opportunity. We can't give second and third chance opportunities. So when he's in there, he's got to do those things. And he knows that. We've talked about it. And he understands.
What do you say to Reese after the game when he goes 0-for-6, something when he doesn't play great offensively? I mean, he still has a presence. He still makes his contribution to the team. And he's still playing well defensively. And some people are saying, there's some comments that I've heard people make, that he's hurting, he might be hurting a little bit, he could be physically impaired in sense of his, I don't know, ankle, hamstring.
Yeah, I mean bounce back. We got another one Saturday. Like, he's not going to be perfect every game. He's not going to make every shot. But what Reese does a lot for us doesn't always show up in box scores. I know, you know, people, you know, may say what they want. I don't listen or read all of that, but, you know, I know he didn't score a lot. I don't think he made did he make a field goal in that game?
No, Reese was 0 for 6, hit 3 for
6. Yeah, but what he does defensively, you know, handling the ball, assisting, stealing, you know, a lot of that goes unnoticed. It probably doesn't go unnoticed, but I know people want to see him score, but I mean, he does so much for us, so many other things for us. But he's just, you know, he's got to shoot when open, be confident, finish at the rim when he gets those opportunities. But that kid will bounce back. He's a competitor. You know, he'll figure it out.
No question. All right, we only have about, well, we try to keep it about an hour.
Yeah.
So we're 51 minutes now. And we still haven't hit Dougie, who's, I'm sure, so excited once again to join. Dougie had such a great time in Charlottesville this weekend. Dougie, come on in. Such a great time this weekend. It was holding court.
I'm here.
Live show.
I
should have had Kim come on the show on Saturday. Oh, Kim, next time we're in town for a live show, you got to come on so we can talk about NIL with you. And that'd be a great conversation piece with you and Jay Willie. But Dougie, I know you had such a good time on Saturday.
Oh, so much fun, man. From the live show, people coming in, you know, cheering when Jay Willie walked in the house for the Jay Willie show.
Friday, you were at practice.
I was at practice Friday. I had a couple nuggets. Reese dapped me up. Coach O made sure. He's like, yo, your boy's here. I got some time with TB to talk about one of the newest commitments. Both commitments, actually. Blake and Elijah, that was good. You know, it's always special, man. You guys, the whole staff, man, so cool. You know, Kyle Getter, awesome. Oh, on and on. But here's my new favorite thing, Jay. I've never been to a game with Mark Jerome, in person when his son wasn't playing. So I know a couple of the parents peripherally, you know, yeah. Miss India, the McNeely family I know, BVP's family a little bit. So here's my new move. I'm like, oh, hi, you know, Miss India, Armand's mom. This is my friend Mark Jerome. His son used to play here, and then I dip out. Mrs. McNeely, Holly, this is my friend Mark Jerome. His son played at Virginia before. He wore number 11 like your son. Then I dip out. and you know, their family's like, wait, Jerome, Mark Jerome, what? And then, of course, you know, Mark tries to be humble.
My only question for Mark, is, I got a question for Dougie.
Yep.
How did you know who to sit with on the game Saturday because you had so many offers?
I had a lot of offers. I moved seats 4 times during the game. So shout out to John Cotton, the Good Feet store.
John Takiri.
I met him at the BC game, and we've talked shit on Twitter and the whole thing. And he was like, you need a ticket. I got a ticket. And I was like, yeah, man. So I sat with him, but then I had, you know, my main man, Sarge McGowan, who's a season ticket holder, the opposite side, you know, Sarge and T-Mac. And then Harold Dean and Sean Singletary were somehow behind the bench. So I go down. Jay, I don't know if you know this. I sat with Big Ford. I went down and sat with Amy and your dad.
Oh, yeah.
And he moved. Dude, your dad was so excited. He moved over. He's like, I got a seat for you guys. So just for the record, Jay, you had an open seat, just so you know. And then I, you know, Marky and TW to my left. And, you know, I moved around, saw Chris Lade.
That must have been Cam sitting with some of his school friends.
Oh, it had to be, right? Yeah. And your brother-in-law was there. And they were so excited. Me and Amy, and we talked, you know, we went through it all, as you know. I saw Slade was with Larry Holmes at the game.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw them?
So, Holmes when we were going into the tunnel at halftime.
Yeah, so we're, you know, in our element doing the whole thing. I'm not sure what my question is.
For those who are football, UVA football fanatics, Larry Holmes was a heck of a receiver back when we were in school. I want to say he's your year fresh.
He's a year, 1 year younger.
Okay.
Well, if you remember Larry Holmes, the football fanatics will remember, he used to catch the kickoffs.
He was a kick returner, punt returner.
And, and a beast, and he would get smacked. He'd get smacked by some 6'5", 280 pounder, and he would jump up and be right in their face. Also, Larry Holmes is a slaughter all-star. So me and him used to have big, big battles, and he told me about it.
So we have to explain what a slaughter all-star is.
So slaughter is the season that matters. It happens in the spring after basketball and football is over. Marky, the basketball guys and the football guys try to come in their center court.
It's a rec. And so it's a rec center on rec campus, center. On ground.
Right, right up behind the old dorms.
Behind
old. No, Hill. New dorms.
Yeah.
And man, it was like four. You know, after class, which my last year there wasn't a lot of class, but 4 p.m. till 10 p.m. and we just ran and ran and ran.
And we, you know, the football. We hooped in the summer in Slaughter.
Of course. So Slaughter was like, you know, it was 175 degrees.
That was before the Aquatic and Fitness Center.
That's right. That's all just fancy now. Just nice. Yeah, yeah. We did it. We did it dirty. I have a question. Marky hit on it. You guys hit on it.
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Dawn Staley was a Slaughter All-Star.
Dawn's an All-Star. We texted yesterday, me and Dawn, and I forgot. Yeah. I think she was recognized as a Virginia Hall of Fame, obviously.
Dawn would play with us sometimes.
Yeah. Well, the funniest thing, Jay, you guys were coming in. Karate left. I'm going to be a third-year/junior, and I wanted to be the point guard. Corey's coming in. The student newspaper, before you got there, they wrote an article saying there's no point guard controversy between Doug Smith and Corey Alexander. It should be Dawn Staley. They said, Jay, the quote was, Doug Smith could not hold Dawn's jog bra. Remember the jogging bras the women wore? And me and Dawn were in Slaughter playing. I'm like, damn.
Dawn and Tammy. Know. I tell you, they were good.
No, Dina. Dina Dean.
Dina Evans, yeah.
My, you touched on it, but the whole block thing happened and whatever. And, you know, when you're at the game, you see different things because they go to timeout for the TV. And you grabbed Ryan Dunn. And he, you know, he overcommitted, but dude, he got back quick, right? But you grabbed him during that whole review session, and I think you hit on it. But what were you telling Ryan?
I said, this was after I realized we were going to overtime. I said, don't get down. I said, yeah. We're going to overtime. I said, but in this situation, you got to keep that guy in front of you. You can't ball watch. And I think he looked at the ball and assumed Filipowski was still going toward half court, but he lost vision and he face cut him and cut to the rim. And I said, this is a good lesson. I said, you'll be fine. I said, but just know you'll grow from here. And I, you know, he probably didn't want to hear that at that moment, but I didn't want.
Yeah, he had that look. He had the look as if you were chastising him. And I know
I didn't want to do was him to beat himself up. I said, "You're gonna be fine. We're going to overtime." But he was, you know, he was down. He was down on himself. But
right, you
know, we got 5 minutes, buddy. We're gonna be just okay.
And it's funny because when I was sitting with Mr. Cotton at that point in 1:15, so I see the play directly. There's no foul. That's fine. But then I look up and I see the guy who tried to dunk it. His number 30. And I look at the scoreboard and number 30 had 0 points.
Yeah.
So you got a 7-foot dude going, what do you got to say, downhill, right? Two dribbles downhill and he can't smash it on a 6'3" guard.
Well, I thought Reese timed it up.
Hey, I get it. Timed it up is different than, you know, Brian Stitt's not getting the shot blocked. But how do you hold number 30 to 0 points in that game? That to me, because I didn't realize it. I didn't notice.
Who's likely a lot.
Going into that game, he was playing really well for them.
Yeah.
He was scoring a ton of points, maybe close to 20 a game going into that game, at least 18, 19. But I thought – a combination of guys guarded him. Ryan guarded him. Gardner guarded him. I don't know if Caden or maybe Ben a little bit, but I thought we just stayed in front. We stayed down. We got to his three-point shot because, you know, he can shoot, he can space the floor and shoot the three. You know, we were fortunate that we did the job on him. We let other guys go off a little bit. You know, I didn't like that. But yeah,
some of those guys made plays, though. You know, Proctor was well defended two or three times. He surprised me. I didn't think he was that good. He was really good.
Well, they got, I mean, if you look at their roster, I mean, they've got some projected one and done guys.
Right.
You know, at least three or four of them dudes on that roster. So
I couldn't believe how long they were watching in person, right? They're 4 inches taller in every position.
We touched on it earlier. That made a difference finishing at the rim for at least our guards. I thought, you know, they were looking for him. You know, and Lively had just come off a game where he had blocked a ton of shots. So you're looking for the big fella.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Bottom line, it was a lot of fun, man. We had a great weekend.
It was a great weekend, good environment. Always fun, like Mark said, when you beat them. But I really thought the students and the fans, you know, all the fans were big time. It was loud. That was reminiscent of back in the day, Mark.
Oh yeah. No, it's great.
oh, I like this question. I like this Hilton Young
question. Who is the best QB in Pennsylvania right now? Before we get to that, I just want to take Dougie. I almost thought you were going to get Ralph's seat on Saturday.
I tried.
Phil didn't give it up?
He was politicking with Phil. He's like, Phil, so what's up with the seat next to you?
I'll give Phil credit every time and all the time. He said, well, Doug, you didn't ask me beforehand. He's a great hedger. He's amazing.
Ralph,
we had a lot of fun talking to him.
Ralph's got first dibs on those, I'm telling you.
Hey, and he should, as he should. Don't worry about me. I'll figure it out. I run around that arena talking to everybody, man.
No question. Hey, was that a setup question, this football thing we got going?
Feels like it.
We know who it is. It will be Kenny Pickett when it's all said and done. I'll give you right now. You were runner up. There is no runner up in NFL. They lost.
If Kenny Pickett was the quarterback of the Eagles, would they have won?
No.
Yes.
No, it's Mahomes. You can't win it the first. You cannot win a championship your first time. It never happens.
Ben did it.
Who?
Ben Roethlisberger did it.
His first time in the Super Bowl, he won.
Yes.
Did Joe Montana ever lose? I don't think Joe Montana lost one.
Bradshaw.
You guys know better than me.
Bradshaw's 4-0.
That was another Dougieism.
That was my squad back when I was little. I was all about the Steelers when I was little.
Hey, so I love talking football. We got our work cut out, though. The AFC, just think of the quarterbacks in the AFC. Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Tua, Justin Herbert. You got Russell Wilson in Denver. If they got a new coach, Kenny Pickett's got his work cut out. It could be ugly for the Steelers and the AFC.
Okay, last football question. Where does Kenny Pickett lie amongst the AFC quarterbacks?
He's so young. I can answer that. I'll give me 6 games into next year. I'll answer that. We'll be all right. We're gonna be fine. We got a lot of draft picks too. I like it.
All right, Eric Thomas. Thank you, Montana, Aikman, Eli.
Yeah, those dudes don't even play no more. What are we talking?
First time, my bad.
ET. Yep. First time winning. There you go.
Hilton is going at it tonight. Wait a minute. Right? What about Doug Williams?
It had to be his first time, right?
Yeah. It's a lot fresh. Where'd you come up with that take? That's a bad take.
I'm talking about the first time a new team goes to the finals. They don't win. The Pistons back in the day, trying to get by the Celtics.
It's not basketball, fresh. We talking football.
But this is my theory. Anyhow, I was right about this one.
All right, folks.
Drew Brees? Didn't Brees win it the first time?
He played for like 10 years. It took him a long time. Eli took a long time. Montana took a long time.
First time going to the Super Bowl.
But I'm saying they're not like rookies. They're like in their fifth or sixth year. I'm telling you, it's not.
You're going to write a dissertation on this.
I will.
Back to it.
100% right.
Post on the forum. Look for this, folks, on Locker Room Access forum. Dougie's dissertation.
Yeah, we'll talk about recruiting on the next Jay Willie show, because I went at a couple of guys in town this weekend.
We can't talk recruiting on the Jay Willie show.
I can talk about it. You guys had some kids in. Okay, understood.
All right, to be determined. All right, folks. Thanks for joining us again. We're very appreciative of all of you and grateful. All right, Coach Williford, hello from the Lunsford family.
That's Laura. That's my girl.
Thanks so much, Lisa, for watching. We appreciate
it. That's awesome.
And folks, Saturday, it's noon, Notre Dame at home, Locker Room Access pregame show, 11:30. Please check us out. We are out. But before we're out, let's say a big thank you to Kevin and family from Rhines and Rogers, who sponsors our show. Thanks, Kev. It was great to see you over the weekend. Kev always providing so much. I don't know how many pizzas and chicken wings he bought, but he made me gain a couple of pounds, which I do not need. I'm trying to lose, man. All right, folks. For Jay Willie, Dougie Fresh, I'm Mark Jerome. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.